Interview with Mr. Spencer Chan. Tape 5.
Daily pay.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's as much as I get in time, but I was just off of an extra picture and was called, the Majority of One. The
mm-hmm.
Majority of One. It was a, what is her name? She just died recently. There's a picture of an English man
mm-hmm.
going to Japan with this lady who was a Jew.
Uh-huh.
And she went on a steamer.
Mm-hmm.
And he, who, as a result of the interview, he went on a Japanese steamer.
Uh-huh.
And a boat, you see.
Uh-huh.
And I was picked by a cattle call interview, you know, with a large number of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on that for about 8 weeks, every day.
Every day, huh?
Yeah, but not the hundreds of dollars a day. I think I got about $40 a day.
Uh-huh.
And that was just before the Flower Drum Song. I just got through with that Majority of One.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what was her name? I forget her name. She just died recently.
Young one
or old one? She's old now. I mean, she's old at the time he died. Russell. What was her name now? It was less pay because they had a freeze on the pay.
Mm-hmm.
I had a maximum of $35 a day.
Mm-hmm.
But my classification and according to past performances and past records, the War Department gave me a card.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I was exempt from service.
Mm-hmm.
I had an exemption.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was overage.
Yeah.
In the Japanese War. You could not take, nobody could work for, they had a limit on the price, on
mm-hmm.
the wage freeze.
Mm-hmm.
People, no matter millionaires, they could only work for a certain amount of wages.
I see.
Well, I had, the longest time was about 14 weeks in,
uh-huh.
in some of these war countries.
I see.
And one time,
you mean 40,
By the week, they contract you by the week.
I see. So how much a week?
$250
$250 a week?
Mm-hmm.
That was during the war, huh?
Yeah.
Now before then, you talked about $5,
$7. We're talking about. We got a long way between that.
Right, and 35, yeah, that was before.
35, 30,
35, 40,
50.
Almost 10 years.
More than that, about 15 years. Besides, the good earth, there was no union then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You see, non-union and union are different things.
But is this, you talk about 150 or 250 a week, is that for extra or?
Yeah, for extra.
Not an actor, huh?
Actors would get whatever.
Because
well,
your Flower Drum Song, you will be considered an actor, right?
Yeah.
So you got to pay more.
Yeah. But on the extra, if during the wartime, you see, you have to figure during wartime and non-wartime, of course, you talk about it, but it's years and years apart.
That's right.
A lifetime apart.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. From good earth, there's no union.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And so the Chinese would work for $5.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd herd them like dogs, you know, like that's what they call cattle call. It's a cattle, you know, or cows. Mm-hmm. Go run here, run there, run uphill, run downhill. And that's what they call cattle. Then the union came along, which some people don't like the idea of the union, mm-hmm. but the union insisted upon, well, we did get only a small part of course, but we did have a union in which I was one of the charter members of the union. And I got a gold card like this. I was giving it to the other guy, life membership also. They insisted, they fought for higher wages, and they fought for residual pay.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, like Mickey Rooney, now he's hollering that he didn't, in the newspaper he's hollering that he didn't get paid. Well, of course he's a millionaire,
mm-hmm.
but he's hollering that he didn't get paid for pictures he made 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done, just publicity, because he's not going to get it anyway.
No.
But in those days, up to 1962,
mm-hmm.
Ordinary actors would not get residual.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Reagan's idea, don't give them residual.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you guys get paid enough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of them do. Some of them get, just like ball players, some of them don't get anything.
Right.
But they don't, also they don't get protection.
Right.
They could fire them the small fry, they fire them the next day. Or the big shots are the ones people would want to take care of. They would keep on, even with injuries or not working at all.
Right.
And some actors were getting in bad with the law,
mm-hmm.
and they would get away with it. The producers would soft pedal,
mm-hmm.
and they would keep their reputation.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of picture, you know, that happened before.
I see.
And some people, instead of this, being the victim of scandal,
mm-hmm.
they went in the studio to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And all the same way with that was what they called a union protection.
Uh-huh.
Protection. Sometimes you don't need it. But we did, of course, common cows,
mm-hmm.
cattle calls,
mm-hmm.
you need protection.
Mm-hmm.
So from about 1962 or 61,
mm-hmm.
they started this residual payment for certain classes,
mm-hmm.
just like what you call patent,
mm-hmm.
patent rights,
patent
or
royalties,
yeah. or what you call copyrights,
mm-hmm.
books or music,
right.
And under certain circumstances. So that's when they started that. But during the Japanese thing, the reason they, you see, during this many years before, because the Japanese war didn't start till 42 about. I mean, really, at that time the Japanese were not on the Pacific coast. They were shipped away, of course, into camps.
Right.
And they used Chinese and Filipinos in place of Japanese characters.
Mm-hmm.
So especially MGM would hire as many Oriental-looking people as they could,
mm-hmm.
and they would keep them in. You see, stop,
mm-hmm.
not assigned to any one job,
mm-hmm.
but they would be in, well, like a study job. It wouldn't be a study job. They could fire you anytime they want.
Exactly. Like contract things.
Well, you'd have to have a contract,
right.
Otherwise you'd go work for somebody else.
Right.
But they would say, it was about minimum pay, or whatever the legal pay, it was about $75 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so for $75 a week, you would work for MGM as an extra, and you wouldn't know what you're going to do or what picture, you don't care.
Anytime they call you,
you'd be on, you'd be anytime they want. They'd use you all the time, otherwise they wouldn't hire you.
I see.
So, if you'd have to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how you would get long runs.
Mm-hmm.
We would stay for, 14, 15 weeks,
mm-hmm.
without stopping. But you would work in a different picture any time they optional with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes you would work on a special picture like the wartime picture. You would work for the picture called Fighting Sea Breeze or something.
Mm-hmm.
We went down to Camp Pendleton.
Mm-hmm.
a marine base.
Mm-hmm.
And they would use a lot of Oriental faces. And among those that would, among the Orientals, on the back of the back of the ground, they would have white men dressed as Chinese, as Japanese soldiers.
Oh.
And, you know, they faked the thing.
I see.
And that way we would get quite a bit of work as Japanese soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
That's during wartime. You know, that's how we make most of the money.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't be high pay except for the wage freeze.
Mm-hmm. I see. Were there competitions among Chinese themselves?
Oh.
Because the role are so limited to the...
Oh, sure. There's always competition. Always jealousy. But what we need to do, I mean, that's natural.
Mm-hmm.
It's natural to be competitive. You would be jealous of somebody doing something. You might be able to do it just as well or better,
mm-hmm.
only you don't have the chance.
Mm-hmm.
All those things happen.
Yeah.
And another thing I wanted to tell you about, maybe not as straight, is do you remember the Pancho Villa?
Yeah, I had heard about it.
He was a Mexican bandit. At the time, before the war, before the German war,
mm-hmm.
before the German war, he was raiding, harassing Mexican people along the border.
Mm-hmm.
And among the people that he was like a Robin Hood.
Mm-hmm.
He would rob the rich. Of course, the poor didn't have any money to be robbed of, so he would perforce help them. They would help him,
mm-hmm.
in other words. He would just as soon kill them. Poor Mexican was a rich one, but
mm-hmm.
he had to have some poor Mexicans that he could hide amongst,
mm-hmm.
and hide his men, mm-hmm. his bandits, among those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, they wouldn't have any money, but
mm-hmm.
he would have to rob the rich people. And the people that were victims were Chinese, because they were industrious, hardworking
right.
people,
right.
and they were not Mexican.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so, He was a Mexican, of course,
mm-hmm.
so he was not only hating the rich people, but he hated Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So he would be killing a lot of Chinese along with anybody he would kill, see?
Mm-hmm.
Especially Chinese, because they were defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had, that's before the war, before the German war,
mm-hmm.
before the second and first war, in 1915.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fellow named General Pershing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sent by the president to chase Pancho Villa,
mm-hmm.
which he did.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, during the time he was chasing him, of course he never caught him.
Mm-hmm.
That's a historical fact. He never did catch him. They went to war against Germany before
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But before he went to war against Germany,
mm-hmm.
he rounded up the Chinese
mm-hmm.
that were harassed by the Pancho Villa.
Mm-hmm.
And he herded them into a place near Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have stopped the Mexicans from killing them.
Mm-hmm.
And so during that time, by a presidential proclamation, it was President Wilson at that time,
mm-hmm.
he paroled all these Chinese
mm-hmm.
into the United States and gave them their freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them came to China City, became a merchant there.
Really? What's his name?
Wong Duck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, this is a long time ago. He was rescued by the government,
mm-hmm.
by the United States, from Pancho Villa. It was 1915.
Mm-hmm.
1916,
mm-hmm.
he was released
mm-hmm.
from the camp they had established there. It was a refugee camp for Chinese being harassed by Pancho Villa.
Mm-hmm.
And so of course, Pershing went to war against Germany after
right.
that.
Right.
Had nothing
right.
to do with us.
Right.
But the Chinese were freed, and they were given parole and pardon, and allowed to stay in the United States. They weren't deported back to China.
What did
Wong
Duck do in
He had a
city?
Store.
What
yeah.
store?
Well, it wasn't a store. Kind of a stand,
mm-hmm.
and he worked in pictures. He had a face, well, by that time, this is many years later, of course, at the time he was freed. It was 1915
mm-hmm.
or 16 that he was freed from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
He was a young man then,
mm-hmm.
so by 1945 he was an old man.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had a wrinkled up face,
mm-hmm.
and he worked in, he couldn't speak English, but he looked like a wrinkled up Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And he was used in quite a few pictures.
Mm-hmm.
He had a store. He had a store. It was a kind of a, right in China City, right in the gateway.
Mm-hmm.
The gate that goes from Main Street, on the Main Street side. You hear, then there's a restaurant there. Right there. Well, he had one of these little stores, and he worked around. He could speak Spanish because he'd been in Mexico for several years, and he could speak Spanish, and couldn't talk much English, although he'd been in California after that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he speaks both Spanish and English.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was one of the immigrants that got over,
mm-hmm.
not only by legal means, I was to say. That's what I was getting at, the way that Chinese immigrants did come over.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, way back in my father's time, that was before 1860 or 65 or so, there was free immigration. About that time, they had the First Exclusion Act,
mm-hmm.
every Chinese would have to have a certificate of residence,
mm-hmm.
and they would show that this person had been legally in the United States
uh-huh.
at that time, at that particular date.
Uh-huh.
Anybody after that would be a wetback, subject to deportation.
Right.
That was, but those who came before that, among them was my father.
Mm-hmm.
And they were allowed to stay here. They had to have papers, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, during the time when my father was here, many of the Chinese would die off here. And they, their friends or relatives would take their papers that were issued to them and send them back to China. And somebody would come over and be sold to them. That's how many of them came over illegally. But they had legal papers. They had papers that showed they came over way back. That's how come during the war, and the Japanese war, many GIs
mm-hmm.
were caught in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't legals at all.
They
took somebody else's paper.
Nice.
That's how they couldn't. They had families in China, and they were stuck there until after World War II,
uh-huh.
when they let down the bars and the families could come over. That's how our Legion got into a big involvement. We helped them without
War Bride Act.
Yeah,
uh-huh,
yeah.
I see.
Uh-huh. We helped them get over here.
Uh-huh.
We helped the Chinese. They were men in the army,
mm-hmm.
in the Japanese and the Chinese army,
mm-hmm.
in the Japanese war. Chinese men were way over age,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but they couldn't say that they were fakes to begin with. They were fakes, but they had somebody else's old papers.
Uh-huh.
But that didn't matter because they were considered citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So after the war, they were granted immunity and were able to bring their families over.
Mm-hmm.
I know several, we helped them.
Mm-hmm.
Several families come over with, there were several people come over with their families, as
mm-hmm.
a matter of fact. There was a lot of graft in there too. Some people would have money and would become wealthy here in the United States. And they would want a bride.
Mm-hmm.
So they would send the eligible person over there to bring the gal over here
mm-hmm.
under their name.
Mm-hmm.
Get married over there in China.
Uh-huh.
And come by way of Great Britain, you see,
uh-huh.
because Hong Kong was British.
Uh-huh.
And they would have passports and marriage certificates and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They'd come over here and they'd turn them over, turn her over to the real guy. Yeah, for a price.
Uh-huh. Do people do that they can only get married once. They cannot do it all the time, right?
Well, they, once is enough. At first, if a man wanted a bride, that's a girl that's in China,
uh-huh,
he can't get her over here, so he sends
right.
a man that can go over there.
Right.
And he this fellow that goes over there, he goes over as a visitor.
Mm-hmm.
He goes over as a visitor, he gets married, and gets registered. Gets registered and gets all and comes over bringing his bride. As soon as he gets here, the real boss will take over the gal.
Mm-hmm.
And this fellow that's done the messenger work will get paid off and go his way.
Mm-hmm.
He can only do that once. He can do it more than once.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, it takes time.
That's right.
Maybe opportunity. Maybe he doesn't want to do that more than once. Maybe he wants to go over there and
right.
get some money. He gets paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
But kids, like this peanut,
mm-hmm.
he's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But his father in China
mm-hmm.
is a really adopted father,
mm-hmm.
and had a brother in the United States,
mm-hmm.
and this brother in the United States wanted his son,
mm-hmm.
So the two brothers, and they got together and they said, well, you send this fellow, Peanut, over here. Peanut was about 15 years old then.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you send him over, and I'll take him, the uncle would take him over. He's an apprentice, a sort of laundry
mm-hmm.
apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, fine. So then how did he get him over here? Well, buy a fake paper
mm-hmm.
and bring him over here. You take him over. You say he's the uncle, the one on this side would say that's my son.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have papers to show for it.
Mm-hmm.
You'd take him and he'd pay the guy. And so that's how he got to change the name.
Right.
He takes by immigration, he has to take the name of the one that he's legally. But when he comes over here, he's really not that name at all.
Mm-hmm.
the Chinese style, they have to go by the Chinese name.
Because of a law prohibiting them coming, they have to use the fake
paper.
Well,
they use the fake paper.
Yeah.
And when they when they come over among Chinese people, he's not that name at all.
Were the people sort of Chinese people?
They know it well enough.
They know?
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
They don't care.
Uh-huh.
Nobody cares. It's like Prohibition days. You don't remember the people who would drink liquor regardless of law, you see. They didn't think it was a violation of law. They know it was, but they didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
See, unpopular. Well, the Chinese the same way. They know that I showed you the picture.
Suhu,
uh-huh,
yeah.
He goes by Wong now.
Uh-huh.
Because when he came over, of course we know this is not for publication.
Mm-hmm.
He Suhu is a small family here
mm-hmm.
at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to a big family, Wong.
Mm-hmm.
He's Wong.
Yeah, right.
But really he's not.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's what many Chinese people do that.
How many percent did your people have their fake paper
among
your friends?
I don't know.
Not very many, okay. Yeah.
But in the old days it did, yeah. In the old days it was quite prevalent.
Uh-huh.
I think, let's see. Maybe Delbert could have told you about the many.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's one with immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Very much, because at the time he was an attorney at the time.
Uh-huh.
At the time of
Weston Hall.
No, much later than that. He belonged to our legion, one time.
Elwin, no. Yeah?
Governor, Governor Brown Senior, you know.
Uh-huh.
Appointed Albert to the judgeship.
Right.
And at that time, there was a guy named Hiram Kwan.
Uh-huh, yes.
Hiram Kwan, they were about parallel, two attorneys.
Right.
And Hiram Kwan was a Republican, a Democrat.
Uh-huh.
Pat Brown Senior appointed Delbert Long to the judgeship, municipal, and then he became higher and higher, of course.
Right.
But at that time, he seemed, of course, maybe you know, that Delbert was born and raised here in the United States. He's not the son of them. But I understand that he didn't take very many immigration cases. I mean, it's not part of his specialty.
Right.
So he wouldn't want to be involved in that because too many Chinese people, and he might step on somebody's toes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a person, he might as well go and work for other fields,
right,
rather than go where he might get embarrassed.
Right.
And his own family is involved in some other Chinese people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just stay away from them. Do your own work among the Negroes or whites.
Right.
And don't work among people that look embarrassed you at times.
Uh-huh.
So, not that it's against him, maybe that's what he could do. That's what Hiram does.
Uh-huh.
He does now. I know Hiram Kwan very well.
Uh-huh.
He got into a lot of trouble with Stevenson. Councilman Stevenson.
Mm-hmm.
He and Councilman Stevenson were in cahoots, I guess, you might say. Well, they all have their ways to do.
So in Chinatown, where were the women? You know, what did the women do? Do you know?
Sewing factories, I guess.
In the early days?
Well, in the early days, sure. They didn't stay home.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have, as far as I know, or just stay home, and out.
Mm-hmm. But your sisters are working.
Well, some of them did. I wouldn't say all of them stayed. All of them working, but they're different. Some families, they have a whole family, of girls, and they don't never leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them do. Some of them fly the coop and go away.
Uh-huh.
Like, you remember Lily Sue?
Uh-huh.
That's Peter Sue's wife.
Uh-huh.
Well, she and her sisters, Holly is married to the dentist, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Her other sister, Mrs. Larson,
mm-hmm,
is a journalist of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, other people that born and raised here, whole families of girls, and they just stay home.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't learn any English at all.
Mm-hmm.
This woman, they had a grocery store. Her family, a lot of girls, all born and raised here.
Mm-hmm.
And she married a grocer. They call it it says on Spring Street. It's not international.
It's not international?
Let me see. What is it?
Quantalong. No.
No. It's further down the street from there. It's about the middle of the block.
It's a grocery store?
Yeah.
GW?
No.
That's a meat market.
It's on the same street. Well, you know where the International is?
Yes. Uh-huh.
International Grocery.
Uh-huh.
That old lady, Zhao Xiang, it's a little south of that. There's another grocery store there.
Oh, I don't know. It's still there?
I've got you. Oh, yeah, it's been in for years.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Time for something?
Time for medicine.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Well, they, as I say, the whole family became quite wealthy, and they don't speak English at all. They were born and raised right here, and some of them, like this Suhu family, like Lily, they became educated, went to school and everything, and all of them, one of them was a journalist, Larson.
Yes.
Her name is, what is her name?
Lily's.
Lily's sister.
Mamie.
Mamie. And her name, her real name is?
Louise.
Louise, yeah. Louise Lell, yeah. Yeah.
How about your family? Do you speak Chinese with your sisters and your parents at home?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some. We speak mostly English.
But when you were little?
Yeah.
Well,
some of them didn't speak English at all.
Uh-huh.
They didn't speak English at all. They come out of school. The reason they go to school in those days, they didn't have truancy officers, and the school teachers, the school principal, didn't care whether they come or go, because there was less, if you have a bunch of foreigners there, Mexicans and Chinese, and there's no more trouble for the teachers, more trouble for the principal to sort them out and teach them anything.
Mm-hmm.
So they just let them go. If they don't come to school, they don't come.